Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. October 21st, another beautiful day in great city of New Orleans. We've got a great lineup for you today. James Carr's Communications Director for the Coalition to Restore Coastal Louisiana will join us, and he'll let us know about their oyster reef that they're working on and a volunteer event that they're doing on Grand Isle in November, planting grasses near the levee. We'll get the latest as to what the Coalition is up to. At 12 o'clock, Max Primorac, Senior Research Fellow, Margaret Thatcher Center for Freedom at the Heritage. There's recently been a lot of chatter about the Trump administration not providing a lot of money to the World Health Organization and other similar international health organizations around the world. Turns out the U.S. is not the only one. In fact, before the Trump administration even made their decision, there are a number of other countries that had begun to scale back financing in the aftermath of the pandemic. And we'll find out why that was. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll have our NOLA Coalition segment. Carolina Guadalupe will join us, Creative Design Director for Trinity City Arts, sponsors of the Artivist Awards this year. And we'll also have Jennifer Mama Jen Turner, one of the three 2025 Artivists of the Year awardees. And we'll talk about what they do and how they give back to the city. And at 10:30, Melissa Martin joins us from Pennington Biomedical's Grow Healthy. She is the Grow Healthy director there. We'll talk about childhood obesity and how that is a growing concern, growing problem here. How can we best deal with the childhood obesity rates? Here in Louisiana, our numbers, as one would expect, is not really good. It follows suit with a lot of our other health outcomes in the country. I think we may be third of the worst obesity rates, behind only West Virginia and Mississippi nationally. And it is a big problem for generations to come, so we'll talk about that. And continuing along that conversation, I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about health insurance. As you know, we're in the third week of this government shutdown, right? And allegedly, this is all about the subsidies and what was then called the Obamacare program, now the Affordable Care Act, and making these subsidies permanent. Having looked at a lot of what the congressional intent was, it was never designed to be permanent. Everybody recognized that they were trying to address a challenge that they had at a particular time, most importantly during the pandemic. But not unlike most other federal programs, once you giveth, you never ever taketh away. It's a strategy because it's really hard. Once people get accustomed to and used to having enhanced benefits, nobody ever wants to give them away. The problem with these subsidies is that the way that they were designed to help through the pandemic is it really brought people into the program that don't need it, but yet now can take advantage of it. that, you know, there's a lot of folks of healthy, healthy incomes now that can participate here. And that's why the numbers are going up. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this ultimately all plays out. But let's look at a snapshot of what you're facing in 2026. According to CBS News, they did a story the other day that said that workers are likely to pay between 6 to 7% more for their 2026 employer-sponsored health insurance, which is, if you do the math, twice the rate of inflation. So health care inflation is twice what normal inflation is. So what does that translate to? You could pay about $2,400 next year if you're single coverage in an employer-provided PPO plan, preferred provider organization, which is actually the most common type of medical plan. Families could likely face, for family coverage, paycheck deductions of $8,900 and more for their coverage. Projections, they surveyed about 1,700 employers. And what's important about this is that most working-age Americans receive their health insurance through their employers than any other source, with about 60% of working folks getting their health insurance through employer-sponsored health insurance programs, which equates to about 164 million people. Workers typically shoulder between 16 to 25% of the total cost, depending on whether they are receiving single or family coverage, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation's 2024 Employer Health Benefits Survey. Now, insurance costs are rising at the rate that they are, not any surprise to anybody, because of prescriptions, right? And that aging workforce is tapping more medical services. So these GLP-1 drugs for weight loss, the demand, they can be costly, some of these treatments. And we're seeing, you know, this really, really impact. And as we've talked about yesterday with Guy Williams, Americans are paying double what residents in other developed nations pay for health care. And our outcomes are worse. Why is that? I mean, that's the what. We need to figure out the why. So in addition to not only this aging workforce, not only, you know, prescription drugs really driving these costs higher, we have a very complex U.S. health system. I mean, it's incredibly complex, and I can't begin to tell you. So when we look at this issue as being a driving issue, driving force behind this government shutdown from the Democrats' perspective, you know, and one of the issues that Republicans are bringing up is that they want to fund and finance illegal immigrants' health care and what that actually means. Well, it might seem simple to look at this, but it's really about all of the background, backdoor options that are really driving a lot of this cost up. So what happens for healthcare providers, when they're negotiating contracts with commercial insurers, they need to make sure that they get enough juice out of these contracts in order to cover their losses relative to uncompensated care and other issues that walk into underinsured, not insured individuals that they are compelled under a varied number of laws to be able to provide to these individuals. Sometimes it's just the distress reimbursement rates of Medicare and Medicaid. Those fluctuate. They change their pricing as many as two times a year, which makes it even more complex, right? But what we know for sure is that once the big, beautiful bill was passed by the Trump administration, that kind of closed the door on some of these backroom loopholes as to how states would ultimately end up financing care for the undocumented, illegal alien, population that entered this country. What did we see? We immediately saw states begin to retreat from providing Medicaid under the state Medicaid system for illegal immigrants. And there's no better classic example than Medi-Cal in California. So the Trump administration closes the door, or at least makes the pathway through the door a lot tighter. And what happens? Governor Gavin Newsom, he's been out front saying how proud he was about implementing all of these programs and this, these exotic financing schemes, these taxing subsidy schemes that they had, willing to do it, willing to be receptive, as long as it was somebody else's money, the federal government. And what happens now is that they are moving in a very quick pace to almost totally eliminate anything that's there. No new entrants, no new participants, reduced number of providers, actually reduction in the benefits, higher co-pays. They are doing a lot because they have an $8.5 billion deficit. And they've done the math. Math has no emotion. It doesn't lie to you. And basically what it's told him is that the state with the largest GDP in this country cannot afford to do what they attempted to do. Now, I'm not sure why the Republicans are not waving this flag a lot more. They should be. Then we move over to Pritzker in Illinois. They're doing the same thing. Go figure. Chicago, in the top five GDPs in this country. What are they realizing? They're facing huge deficits. What are they restricting? They're restricting this very model because they recognize that once the pathway was beginning to become more restrictive, they could not slough off these obligations, these expenditures to the federal government, and the state is not willing to make the sacrifices necessary. And basically, they've embraced what Republicans have been saying all along. When you do this, the U.S. citizen gets less. They get worse health care. They have more wait times. They have less access, and the costs are insurmountable. Now, does that mean that people are insensitive, they don't have any empathy? No. The math simply does not lie. You cannot be all things to all people. It's impossible. There's not enough monetary oomph to be able to do this and not throttle it down, not manage it appropriately, come to a resolution in this country as to how much legal immigration that we're going to have, and decide whether or not there should be a waiting period or whatever it may be as they come in and assimilate into a lot of the benefits that we have to offer in this country. And then finally, Governor Tim Walz. Same thing is happening there. His legislature said, no more. We can't do this. It's killing us. And yet, a number of mainstream media pundits are out there trying to convince the public that this is actually not an issue. When they look at the numbers, it's not as impactful as one would think otherwise. But when you begin to add up what's actually happening here in a number of states, Ohio's another one where they're getting really aggressive on this issue. They're starting to stack up because it has been a complete and total failure. They cannot afford it. They can't do it. They can't keep it going. For all of the reasons that everyone knows, if they are truly objective. So when you have healthcare providers negotiating with commercial insurers trying to extract enough money from them for the services that they're going to render in order to cover the losses of these other programs that are going on, it becomes a friction point for us. And that's why we're seeing medical inflation as to where it is. One of the contributing factors. I mean, this is a very complex system and there's a lot more, so I don't want to lead you to believe that this is the only one. But it is definitely a contributor. And it is definitely difficult to manage. Then what makes it even worse, and what has a lot of people really nervous, is EMTALA. EMTALA is the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act. It was passed under the Reagan years, and it's a federal law that requires Medicare participating hospitals to provide medical screening examinations to anyone who comes into the emergency room. You've heard this, that you cannot turn anyone away. That's true to an extent. What you need to do is examine these individuals in order to determine whether or not this is truly an emergency medical condition. And if one does exist, the hospital is compelled to do a number of things. Provide stabilizing treatment, maybe arrange for an appropriate transfer to another hospital that maybe takes Medicaid or whatever, because there are some that don't participate at all. But this goes to all emergency rooms, right? That's why when you see a lot of these physician-owned facilities out there, one thing that they will never put in their facilities, an emergency room. Why? Because you lose a lot of money there. And you have to go after what is called uncompensated care dollars. Many years ago, it's beginning to become a lot more restrictive. You would quantify the amount of uncompensated care that a hospital would deliver. You would certify that to the federal government. And I think the match was 2-1, maybe it was even 3-1 at one time, the federal government would pay you in return. Some states would give the hospital the share of what they certified. In Louisiana, we had decided that we would take those dollars and fund rural health care, thereby putting these hospitals at a further disadvantage with the inability to cover the uncompensated care that was actually delivered. So let's go back around the circle again. Remember how we started. When we're negotiating with private health insurers, we try to extract as much money as we can from commercial payers to be able to cover the losses that we have on the other side, where we're providing care for nothing. It's all intrinsically linked. And in the big, beautiful bill, there were restrictions placed as it relates to federal reimbursements of that phenomenon that would require states to make up the difference. What is the motivation? They were choking these exotic financing schemes because they realize that at the clip that we're going right now, we're adding to the federal budget. Is it the deficit? Is it the wisest thing to do? I don't know. I really don't. It's going to take somebody a lot smarter than me in looking at this system to figure out exactly where we are going to be. But what I do know for sure, and I go back to this, and I've said this a million times, what about bringing in more poor people to this country inures to our benefit? I don't know. I can't explain it. When we look at the numbers and what we're spending right now, we're going to be talking about homelessness later in the week. We have states that have provided billions upon billions upon billions of dollars in trying to address the homeless programs. And guess what? In almost all of these jurisdictions, without exception, the homeless problem's getting worse. So how does it end? Where does it end? And at what point in time do we believe the math here? Where we embrace the consequence instead of fearing it? I've started talking about this a lot lately. where we are going to have to require the members of Congress to consume political capital. They need to work across the aisle. They need to get to a resolution on this issue. But it cannot be a blank check mentality. It cannot be that. Because if you think for a moment that the only way that we're going to be able to reach the promised land, so to speak, is to tax the wealthy, I don't know how many studies have to be done to prove to people that that is not going to solve the problem. There's not enough oomph there to do so. Cutback management's the toughest management there is. It requires courage. It requires a consumption of political capital. If we're going to allow ourselves to be backed into the corner and we're going to have a government shutdown for 3 weeks and we're going to impact people's lives, we're going to continue to have layoffs. In the very near future, we may not be able to get on an airplane and fly. Because it's going to be interesting to see if the Democrats are going to stand in the way of the Republicans trying to figure out an exotic financing scheme to pay the air traffic controllers. We're going to find out exactly what they're really like. We will find out just how much pain they want you and I to experience before they change their minds. So I'll leave you with this. If you're sitting around the table this evening, pondering, think about your pain tolerance. And if you don't have much more, you might want to call your congressperson. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
So, folks, as childhood obesity rates in Louisiana rank among the highest in the nation, and without intervention, nearly 7 in 10 children with obesity are likely to enter adulthood with obesity, we recognize that we have a serious problem. And here to talk to us about it is Melissa Martin, Pennington Biomedical's Grow Healthy Director of that program. Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Noel.
Not unlike a lot of other numbers, I was learning the other day that I think it's 7 or 8 in 10 women in this country will experience breast cancer. That number blew me away. And then as I was reading a lot of your information that you provided, these numbers equally blow me away, that we find ourselves in this really unhealthy predicament.
Absolutely. You know, about a quarter of our children in our state are tackling childhood obesity. And, you know, we rank third nationally for this chronic disease. And so it's really important that we all come together and help our kids get healthier.
So you guys are embarking on this Grow Healthy initiative to as a, in in the way of an outreach tour throughout Louisiana, October 21st through the 23rd, starts today. Tell us about that.
Sure. So Pennington Biomedical Research Center is really dedicated to understanding, preventing, and treating chronic disease through obesity research and science. But a really big important part of that is research translation and creating resources and tools that our communities can use that come from our research. And that's what Grow Healthy is all about. It's creating resources to help our state prevent and treat childhood obesity. So over the year, we've been traveling across the state. We're in the greater New Orleans area, as you mentioned, right now. And we're looking to connect with educators, healthcare providers, communities, and families to raise awareness of these resources that are available to them to hopefully provide support in the space of prevention and treatment.
So one of the things that you're sharing is evidence-based solutions. You know, that's music to my ears because I love those types of solutions. What does that reveal, right, and what does it look like?
Sure. So in the healthcare provider space, you know, there's a recently released clinical practice guidelines on the best ways to treat childhood obesity. And our research has created some resources and tools that help providers actually put that into practice. So toolkits to help them modify their practice, patient education materials, and programming that meets those recommendations. In the education space, we've been doing research in the education space for over 20 years and have some school health programs that work to help kids get healthier. So working with our elementary and middle schools on implementing some of those programs, educating child care centers on ways to really incorporate better spaces and environments for play that help to promote physical activity, and then just being a trusted place for families and community organizations to go to get trusted information through our website. Those are really the main things that we're trying to share with communities. In addition to something called Pennington Generation, it's a research study where we're enrolling families across multiple generations to really have the opportunity to look at how our lifestyles and behaviors impact the development of chronic diseases over time in families.
Obviously, our lifestyle and behaviors are multifactorial, right? And
absolutely.
I guess to sum this all up, I mean, there's probably the connection of what we actually consume and how we consume it has to probably be tantamount to this, you know, to the cause of this disease. I recently traveled overseas and was surprised to hear how many things that we are allowed to put in our foods here as processed foods that they don't allow it in Europe. And, you know, it began this process for me to question, why is that? And they seem to follow this science a lot closer than we do. I wonder why.
You know, that's a great question. I think we live in an environment and in a time where quick and convenient often win. And so really helping to identify whole unprocessed foods that you can work into such a fast-paced lifestyle that we lead here can be challenging for families. And so we have some resources and tools to help educate families on how to do that. But I think a lot of it just has to do with the environment that we're in, the access and the availability of the foods that we have. And, you know, just everyone coming together to do our part to make sure that access to fresh fruits and vegetables and easier options for families to eat healthier are more known and better available in all of our communities is important.
Do I love looking at the data. Does it reveal that we're making any headway?
So, you know, the data is really tricky when it comes to obesity and asking the question if we're making headway. And the reason for that is It's a very complex chronic disease. There's lots of different factors that really go into the outcomes related to chronic disease. And so, you know, within communities, there is a movement, and there's a lot of great initiatives that are happening to help move things forward. And so I think that momentum in itself is definitely making headway. And then I think the release of the newer clinical practice guidelines by the American Academy of Pediatrics is also really going to help us make headway in terms of treating this disease in childhood as a chronic disease and having some guidelines for that. So I really believe that's really going to help us move things forward.
How strong is there a genetic connection to this disease moving from generation to generation?
Genetics definitely plays a role in obesity and in childhood obesity. There are a few specific conditions, but then there are also, from a family perspective, a connection. And so sometimes it's genetic, sometimes it's related to the environment or to the norms within that family. And so it's definitely an important factor, you know, when you're considering either prevention for your children or also treatment for your children. Family-based approaches are always recommended.
Someone made me aware the other day, and I was just kind of curious if y'all are looking at this at Pennington at all, that there's a study going on relative to GLP-1 drugs utilized in young kids. Have y'all heard of that? And do you think there is a future for that to assist?
Yes. So the use of obesity medications was part of the new clinical practice guidelines that came out in 2023. And Pennington is involved in several different clinical pharmaceutical trials. And so the evidence is and does suggest that the use of obesity medication in conjunction with lifestyle behavior therapy is, in fact, an evidence-based way to treat and address childhood obesity.
So when we look at this, a lot of folks always, myself included, I like to see whether or not we are going to get, an ROI. And my firm belief, just looking at this at a high level, I really believe that we would get a huge ROI to this, because we know downstream, if this moves into teenage years, adulthood years, that the medical costs necessary for individuals that are really obese, those numbers are off the rails.
Absolutely. You know, from everything from, you know, reducing preterm birth related costs to reducing costs related to other chronic diseases and comorbidities, that's the power of obesity prevention and treatment. Obesity is related to so many other chronic diseases and health outcomes that the more we can put into preventing and treating, the more we can really tackle some of these diseases that, you know, occur later in life, or some of these outcomes that occur throughout life that are very costly, not just to our health system, but to our employment system. You know, there's a lot of associated cost. And so I tend to agree with you. And I feel like our ROI in the space of prevention and treatment for obesity has the potential to have a great return.
Along those lines, and I apologize because I've just got all these thoughts coming into my head, which you probably don't want to be around me when this is happening, right? But I'm just kind of curious, juvenile diabetes, is that on the uptick?
You know, I really love that you asked that question, because for so long we talked about juvenile diabetes and we talked about adult diabetes. But, you know, over the last 10 years or so, there are so many children that are presenting with what we used to call adult diabetes. And so now we really talk about it as type 2 or type 1 diabetes, because there's not as much age limiting to that diagnosis anymore. But type 1 diabetes, which is traditionally was previously called juvenile diabetes, is still, you know, common and a disease state that a lot of our children deal with. But really, with the uptick in childhood obesity, we're seeing a lot more type 2 diabetes, or what we used to refer to as adult diabetes, presenting during childhood.
Yeah, it's just kind of curious, and I'm glad you were able to address that, because I think it's emblematic of just how broad and diverse the challenges of childhood obesity truly is.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you're seeing children with what we would traditionally have categorized as adulthood chronic diseases, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol. It's definitely changing fast, and our science is having to move fast to keep up with that.
So you guys are going to be at Lafreniere Park, I believe.
Yes. So
tomorrow,
So
tell us about that real quick.
Tomorrow from 1 to 6, we'll be at the Lafreniere Park Farmers and Arts Market. And then a few weeks on November 4th, we'll be at the Uptown Crescent City Farmers Market. And between now and then, we'll be stopping in at a variety of healthcare providers and community leader meetings. And while we're at both the Farmers Arts Market and Uptown Market, we'll have our Healthy Moves bus, big purple bus, you can't miss it. And we will be providing education and information to families and community members, and looking to enroll families into our Pennington Generation research study. So lots of great resources and information, and hope to connect with a lot of your community members.
The Pennington Biomedical Research Center of the Louisiana State University, giving back to the community. We really appreciate that. Melissa Martin, Director of Grow Healthy. Of course, we do it the Cajun way, G-R-E-A-U-X. Healthy.
That's right.
We appreciate all that y'all do, Melissa. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, ma'am. And Democrat Senator John Fetterman just announced that he would support the Republicans' effort nuking the filibuster to end the shutdown. He says at the 21st day, he is very concerned about the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program running out of money and people need to eat. There are no winners here, he says. It's not getting better every day here. People are starting to get hungry, and I've been fully committed to fund SNAP, open up the government, he said, U.S. Capitol Police are not getting paid now. This is just bad political theater, he says. Open it up. Could not agree more. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. Going to text line. Newell, can you speak to the fact that insurance companies have a tendency to not cover medical visits for obesity? We have been confronted with denials for visits for this. I understand that the GLP meds and bariatric surgery may not be covered, but I don't understand why a consultation isn't. Thanks. That comes from a good doctor friend of mine. I mean, it's emblematic of the frustration that we have in the system, right? Because there are any number of other things that physicians can, during a consult, recommend to their patients and express just how tricky a situation that they find themselves in from a health perspective by sitting down with a medical professional to better explain and connect dots as to what's going on with one's body. To me, it would make perfect sense to cover the consultation. Maybe you're not able to provide the downstream preventative care or otherwise there, but the consultation, I think, would be a great investment. And thank you, Doc, for bringing that up. I really wish that some folks would change and think hard about how they go about dealing with their insureds. I think we would all agree we can do this better. We certainly can. If we put our minds to it, we know we can. This is the freest country in the world. We ought to be able to handle these situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.